verse 17, I'll back up to there, of chapter 13. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. We'll talk about it. They had two directions they could go when God was leading them out. There's two common paths. And anyhow, God was not going to lead them through the way of the Philistines. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. Now, 21 and 22 is what I want you to pay attention to. Again, this is going to be more topical tonight. It says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. All right, let's go over to Exodus chapter 14, and let me start reading there in verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked out unto the host of the Egyptians, notice this, through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and one of my favorite things I love to read, makes me smile, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. They should have saw that back in the very first plague. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And again, it covered them all up. He destroyed the army. Numbers chapter 9 now. Go to Numbers chapter 9. This verse was the very first verse I'd ever memorized in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 9, and it was thinking upon this verse that led to this message. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, we certainly do are so grateful for all that you've done for us, Lord, and for our church. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the service tonight. We pray that you would be glorified and honored in all that is said and done. Father, may your word go forth tonight and be a help to us and draw us closer to you and give us that direction that we need in our everyday life. Father, please change us and draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ, Lord, as their Savior, I pray tonight they would repent and place their faith in him. Lord, please work. Again, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. So anyhow, in the verses we read, we have what God's direction, his guidance that he gave the nation of Israel as soon as they left Egypt. They didn't have to guess which direction to go, whether to the right, turn right here, or turn left here. God miraculously provided guidance for them with this pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What it means is, the word means, it's a column. So it was a miraculous thing that was clear, this column of a cloud that would obviously stand out and be clear in direction, and they just simply had to follow that. As Moses led them, Moses didn't have to guess where they were going, what direction they had to go. They had to follow the cloud. And even at night, it provided direction. It was a pillar of fire by night. And that's all they had to do. If they were traveling at night, they had the direction. And Numbers 9:17 to me just sums it all up. In a place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And in the place, when the cloud was taken up, then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. So God gave the direction and the leading of the nation of Israel through this cloud. They knew exactly which way to go. Their only responsibility was simply to follow the cloud. They just had to follow God's clear guidance for their life. I think today, more than ever, we see Christians trying to seek from anything else than following guidance. It seems we base everything more on circumstances than we do on faith and on God. Don't get me wrong. There are times when God does use circumstances. I can see that in Scripture. But what I'm saying is that's all we turn to. Many times it's things we haven't even prayed about. We just see a door open and we assume it's of the Lord. All open doors are not of God. You understand that? Life happens. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. There's going to be open doors in life and closed doors in your life. Things happen in life. As Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we have a responsibility to follow God's guiding and leading in our life. And so what I want to do with this topical message tonight is just draw some principles out that I think apply to us and how God used the pillar of cloud in the life of the Egyptians to help us with some guidance and direction in our life as we're trying to follow God. And again, I think we need that. I think we need the capability. It's almost like we lack that knowledge and that ability today to actually follow God. And it's not complicated. God is not up in heaven trying to hide his will from you where you have to find it. He's not. All right? It's just too often, I don't know if it's necessarily we're conscious of it. I think to some degree we are. We just want our own way. And to a large degree, we know that many times God's way is not our way, that it will change you. But the neat thing about God is this, his way is always best. It's always best. So anyhow, let's draw some principles out from following God's leading or the cloud of it. Again, Numbers 9:17. Let me start right there in the last verse that we just read. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Number one principle I see here is we need to move when the cloud moves. All right? When the Lord's directing in your life, and the way I'm directing this, by the way, is in a practical way every day. All right. Just like here with the guiding of God's guiding hand on the nation of Israel, certainly this applies to different major decisions in our life, but it also applies in everyday life. In recognizing God and moving when the cloud moves. It applies very much in our spiritual life. Many are still babes in Christ, still needing milk, can't even handle the meat of the word because the cloud has moved on and they never did. They never grew in that faith. As God was trying to lead them along, they were too busy enjoying the milk. And they never able to handle the meat of God's word. The cloud moved on, yet they stayed behind. And again, it applies to decisions we make every day. Also, many have begun to move when the cloud hasn't moved yet. I've seen a lot of people get out of God's will through carnal eagerness and getting ahead of God. The cloud never moved. They did. You have to watch out for carnal eagerness as well. Many jump into things that God never led them into, whether that's a job or whatever, even a ministry in the church or different things that can apply too. You move when the cloud moves. So that's going to be dependent upon your ability to follow the Lord. He will use circumstances at times, but the circumstances aren't the key. The key is going to be your walk with God and faith in God. So we need to be looking for God's leading in all aspects of our life. It mentions how the Lord went before them. That's just a great statement. In other words, he's already there where he's leading you. He's already there. He's already there where he's leading. Just think on that for a second. A lot of times we think that sometimes the Lord doesn't understand or doesn't know what he's doing. He's already there. Where he's directing your life, he's already there. He knows exactly what he's doing. You're fretting about tomorrow, but God's already there. He has it covered. He has it covered. He knows what he's doing. The Lord goes before. All right? That was just, again, when we had that, when we first arrived in New Guinea and all that we went through, God was already there. He already knew it, but he wasn't like, oh man, I wasn't expecting this. That wasn't it at all. It doesn't work that way. So one, we need to move when the cloud moves. To be able to do that, you've got to know when the cloud's moving. And that's not that difficult. It's just a matter of having your priorities in order where what you're consumed with is simply following God. Now, there's a lot of things that detract from that. Let me get on a little bit of a rabbit trail here. There's a lot of things that can detract from you actually following God. All right. For instance, obviously the world itself, the carnal desires of the world will grab for that. I'm going to talk about your desires here near the end of this message. They're going to be fighting for that. And so when that's out of place, you will have trouble following the cloud because you're nowhere near it. All right. Or things that are pride-based. We see that in the Word of God. I can make a case out of the Word of God that things that are pride-based will hinder you from following that cloud. In other words, I'm talking about even people active in ministry. All right, that want to be used of God in a great way. The problem is they want to be used of God in a great way because of pride. You are no longer following the cloud. You are trying to use God's service for your glory and not His glory. You've left the cloud. All right? You've left the cloud. So number one, we need to move when the cloud moves. Number two, I like this. God provides guidance in the night just like He does in the day. You say, we're not going to see the cloud by night. God had that covered. Don't worry. It'll be lit up at night. It's going to be lit up at night. You're not going to miss it. And again, many times it's we're going through hard times in life that we lose direction. It's during the night that we need more light. Again, perhaps more than any other time, it's during those difficult times you need to stay close to the cloud, close to that pillar of fire by night, and follow it. Because this is where you can get disoriented the quickest. Is at night, during the difficult times, and make bad decisions. Again, most people make the bad decisions during those difficult times and take themselves out of the will of God. You got to make sure you're following that pillar of cloud, that pillar of fire, you're staying close to it. Again, God desires to lead you through the entire night. Again, not only is He right there with you, but He already went before you. And so He desires to provide guidance in the night. So during those difficult times, it's so important that you stay close to it. And it'll be your base. I remember the first time, Matt, that I ever went spearfishing at night with Sam. And it was a cloud-covered night, so there are no stars out. And usually there's a ton of stars out. We went, I don't know, like 10 at night or something. We went diving the first time I ever did it. And I dove down and I got up and I was disoriented. When I got up, I stuck my head up out of the water. I was looking out over the open ocean and I saw nothing. Everything was black. The sky was black. It was raining on me. And I had like, okay, I see nothing. I had no reference point. And so I'm freaking out and I'm looking all around and finally right behind me, I could finally see a light from Nematanai. And that disorientation though, a lot of times that'll freak you out a little bit. Sometimes when you're going through those difficult times and you're not expecting it to take place, you can get disoriented really quick. You got to find that light, all right? And God's not trying to hide it from you, all right? I'm sure it's still there. It's still there. But you have to know, just like we see here, the principle is God provides guidance in the night just like He does in the day. Number three, by following God's guidance, it will protect you from the world and returning you to bondage. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 14. As God was leading them out, as we mentioned, just by a little bit of historical background, usually I only do that during the expository type messages, but when God was taking them out of Egypt, you know, it talks about two different routes. There was a much quicker route to go, but that was by the way of the Philistines. It would have been full of battles for the nation of Israel. They would have been in a fight from the get-go, and the Lord knew they weren't ready for that, all right? So He directed them another way, and it's always amazing. The Lord only puts you in battles if you're following Him for battles that you're ready for. He knew they weren't ready for these battles, so He said, you're not going. The day's going to come when they are ready for those battles, when they are ready to take on the Philistines, but this is not that day. And so he doesn't take him that route. He takes him by the way of the wilderness, which is going to take him right to the Red Sea. Again, so by following God's guidance, we're going to see here, it protects you from the world and returning you to bondage. Let's go to verses 19 and 20. It says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Now, you'll frequently see, by the way, this is just a side fact about this that's interesting, between God and the angel of God constantly associated with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Amazing what God did here at the pillar of cloud. What he did was, he was using it as a form of protection. Egypt is very much a picture or an illustration of the world in our life today. Of the bondage of what we were before salvation, before the blood of Christ was applied to our life. The worldly lifestyle. And obviously Egypt is not thrilled that they have been released. So they want him back. They're going after him. The world's always trying to get us back. The world's always trying to get you out of the will of God and feeding your flesh. And so, but they're following the cloud, and so the cloud was providing protection from them from Egypt. It provides protection from you from the world. We've all heard the saying, I got your back. Well, literally, when you follow God, he has your back. That's exactly what we see taking place right here. The Lord knew that army of Egypt is coming. It wants to enslave them again. The Lord said, you know, they're following me. It ain't happening. And the Lord caused great darkness on their side, so they had no hope of getting close to the nation of Israel. It wasn't going to take place. And there was a lot of them. It's not like it should have been hard to find them. There's about a million of them. And yet the Lord miraculously protected them. They were going to cut through that darkness. They couldn't do it. Even though it was night, even though that was the time to get them, and the Lord said, nope, they're following me. Now understand this. If they're not following the cloud, they've just opened themselves up to attacks from the world. Attacks that they're not going to be able to defeat. The world can come in and take them. The protection would be gone. Because it was the cloud itself that God was using to provide the protection. That's interesting. Again, when we leave the counsel and the guidance of God, we open ourselves up to the attacks of the world. It's always amazing, even in counseling, when you give the Bible principles out, you're giving the cloud out. Here's your cloud. Here's what the Lord wants you to follow. I got this. No, the army of Egypt is waiting for you. It's just waiting for you. There's no protection. Again, if they're not by the cloud, there's nothing stopping the armies from capturing them. Again, perhaps the reason why the world is constantly overtaking you is because you're simply not by the cloud. You're not following God's direction for your life. All right, where am I at here? Number four. It's through following divine direction that allows God to fight your battles for you. Back in Exodus chapter 14, once again, let's drop down to verses 23 through 25. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. Now here's the conclusion, isn't it great? For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Because they were close to the cloud and following the cloud's direction, the Lord intervened in their battles for them. Amazing. And again, get the image here. Isn't that just amazing what takes place there? The Egyptian general makes the call to head into the Red Sea. What a really bad call. I mean, really, that is just to say, you can almost know that God was, you know, sort of throwing that thought in his head here. Yeah, go on in, you got this. And they head on in there. And then he could have just had the water come down. That's all he had to do, but he didn't. He troubled them first. He popped all their wheels off their chariots. Bam, they're all gone. And then they knew it's just over with now. Wheels fell off, and the sea collapses around them, and they were all destroyed. But again, the battle was fought by the Lord because they were following the cloud, because they were following God's guidance and God's direction. They had God's protection. We also see this example with when they fought the battle of Jericho and the battle of Ai. In one of those, they were following God's direction, and one of those, they were not. Jericho is one, they really the most well-defended city. The walls around Jericho were enormous. But they followed God's leading. They followed God's direction. They did exactly what he said. They followed by faith. They did the marching once around for 7 days. On the seventh day, they march around seven times. They blow the trumpets and shout. And the walls collapse. Amazing. But then they decided to go on a battle without God's guidance to a tiny place. A place that they should have circumstantially just wiped out. And they lost. They lost. Again, the key to God fighting our battles for us is following the cloud. It's following the cloud in your life. Again, the reason perhaps, again, why you're losing so many battles in your life is simply because you're out of the will of God. Number five, we will not always understand the leading of the cloud. You're not always going to understand what God puts in your life. Don't expect to. I mean, think, when they got up to the Red Sea and the army's pursuing them, they're like, well, this was a bad idea. But God wasn't up in heaven going, man, what have I done here? Wow, I forgot about the Red Sea. He's not doing that in your life either. He's not up there in heaven saying, wow, I didn't expect that. You know, that God never has to have that thought. You ever think of that? He never has to have that thought. He knows. He's already went before. He's already there. So there are times you will not understand the leading of the cloud. And it's usually during these times, just like we see here, one of the greatest things, of the, as you're reading through Exodus and you're grabbing to see what God's doing, how he's miraculously driven them, taking them right out of Egypt in his protection. But perhaps the most amazing part is what takes place right there at the Red Sea. I mean, that event, I've mentioned it before from the pulpit several times. When I get to heaven, I want to go to the DVD room and watch the Red Sea. I want to see that take place. That's one of the first things I want to watch. I want to see how that happened. But we don't have that if they're not following the cloud. So, again, my point is, it's during those times you don't understand what God's doing that some of the greatest events take place. You will not always understand the leading of the cloud. But it's usually during those times that you see God work mightily. You have to trust him. I remember when I got that assignment to Kunshan. Oh my, I didn't see God anywhere near that. Did everything I could to want to get rid of that thing. I didn't understand it. I remember over, I didn't understand it. But boy, seeing how God used that. Amazing. Especially because he knew what was coming. How did he know what was coming? Because he was already there. And then even at God's leading in coming back to Alaska, when we left, Marianne can tell you, I remember the day we left pulling out on the motorhome was September, October 11th, exactly 1 month after 9/11. October 11th, 2001. I remember as we drove by Palmer, we went by Buffalo Mine Road and saying to Marianne, we are done here in Alaska. We won't be back. Well, I was wrong. The cloud was moving on. The cloud just happened to come, go somewhere else and come right back. But I remember being surprised when the Lord, I mean, I didn't think the Lord necessarily was going to leave us in New Guinea for the next 60 years. I was fine if he did. I knew he might lead us back to the States. I just never thought it was actually going to be the Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage. So you will, number five, you will not always understand the leading of the cloud. Number six. This is really neat. This is one of those ones that's just encouraging to us. Even though they fell, the cloud was still there to lead them. Look over Nehemiah for this. We've got to go to Nehemiah for this one. Nehemiah chapter 9. It's referring to an event that takes place that we're all familiar with the nation of Israel when they sinned against God in the wilderness. Verse 18 says, Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, "This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt," and had wrought great provocations, God was not happy. I mean, really, they just made a golden calf and just gave this thing credit for all that God just did. Just the absurdity of that. And now, here's the yet that I mistook for 18 there. The yet. Love that. Yet, thou and thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. Notice the first thing it brings up. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Even though they fell, God said, "I'm not taking away my guiding hand. I'm not taking it away. If they will just repent," which that ended up taking place, "and follow me," he wasn't going to scrap it. He wasn't going to say, "All right, you're on your own. The fire's gone. The man is gone. You let this..." He could have did that, couldn't he? He could, "All right, let the calf take care of you. You really think this golden calf thing just did all this? Fine. Let's see how long you survive." They'd have been dead probably within... All of them probably been dead in 3 to 5 years. It's been over with. They needed God's miraculous provision. Actually, what would have happened is they would have been going back in Egypt or just dwelling with other peoples to survive. Even though they fell, the cloud was still there to lead them. God is always there to get us back on track. If you want to get serious and get right with Him, know what He says? The cloud's still here. It's still here. I haven't moved it. I haven't moved it. God is so merciful that even when we fall, the cloud is still there. All right, the last one here, number 7. The cloud was going to lead them all the way to the promised land. All the way to the promised land. The direction of the cloud stayed with them the entire 40 years. I've read some guys who had said, "Well, we don't know exactly when that stopped." Of course we do. We know when to stop. Granted, when you go back into Exodus and Numbers, there's not a clear verse that says when it stopped. What you do is you tie in a verse in, Exodus, that says that, it's in there. It's in the Pentateuch. it addresses exactly when the manna stopped, as soon as they crossed in. The manna stopped. Are you familiar with the verse? Boom. They got in, the manna stopped. Well, if we tie that in with what we just read in Nehemiah, that also tells us that's the same time that the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night stopped. That went the entire time. It went all the way till the God got them where they were supposed to go. All right? So the cloud will lead all the way through. So God's will is to take us through all of this life. And again, I don't believe the promised land is a picture of heaven. I'm not trying. I believe it's a picture of the spiritual life more than anything. And the wilderness is more symbolic of carnality. But nonetheless, God's guiding hand will stay with you until I believe we do head to heaven. It's going to be there. Stay with Him the entire time. And really, understand this. I mean, so that obviously all this entails the will of God for our life. But too often we believe a location or an area of service is the will of God. But in reality, the will of God is simply following the cloud. That's the key. It's not so much of what we're doing for God. It's the obedience and submissiveness as we follow God. That's the key. If you get so caught up in your service, that cloud can move on and you're too busy in your service because that's what it was about to you. It wasn't about God. It was about your ministry, about your job, or whatever it might have been. And so you weren't moving. And so when the cloud was directing in your life another way, even on simple things on a daily basis, you weren't going anywhere. So I think we also learn that the reality of the will of God of our life is simply following God. Make sense? Now, to finish this up, I got one more point here I want to cover, and that's help following the cloud. That's some help following this cloud in our life. Let's turn over to the book of Psalms. Two verses in the book of Psalms I want you to notice. I wasn't going to go to Psalm 119. It's packed with these, but I want to avoid Psalm 119 until we get there. I'll read two verses here. Psalm chapter 5 and Psalm 143. Psalm 5 and verse 8. Here's the prayer. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Psalm 143, you don't have to turn there if you're not there. I'll go ahead and read the verse. 143 and verse 10. He says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And really, throughout the Psalms, Proverbs, you see prayers like this throughout. Of literally, especially you get into Psalm 119, of literally begging God for His direction and for His leading. So what that shows is it's one of the keys to following the cloud. That has to be where your desire is. What you see in the two verses of the examples of what I was going for was the heart of the psalmist. That's truly what he desired. In other words, when he was coming before God, listen, there's nothing wrong with going and asking God for things that we need in our life. I'm not preaching against that. But I believe what where our heart needs to be with that is simply begging God for His direction. That's more than all those other things that we tend to ask for. It's simply desiring God. Now listen. Desire is a powerful emotion. It's one of the most powerful that God has given us. It's one of the emotions that every single person in here enjoys, is desire. So understand this, because of the power of it and the effect it has over a human life, there's going to be different things competing for that desire. And if God can get that desire in your life, that's where the psalmist was. And I believe that is key to following the cloud. That's where your desire has to be. So that's getting really, that's where the rubber meets the road. We can use all those little sayings. That's where it's really examining your heart and saying, okay, what is it that I really want in life? And growing up in a Western world, I mean, we are taught from a time where little to allow a lot of other things to control that desire. From a name, from a career, living for retirement, whatever it is. But the key is God has that desire. God needs to be our desire. God needs to be more than just fire insurance for you. He needs to be your life. He should be our leader, a willingness to submit to His authority, to put aside selfish desires and count them but dung, as Paul demonstrated in Philippians chapter 3. Again, I believe that true desire does just what we see in the Psalms there, is it drives you to your knees. And knowing that God's not trying to hide His will from us. A lot of times He doesn't reveal everything He's going to do, but that makes perfect sense. I mean, if I knew at 20 that God wants to throw me in New Guinea, I think I'm going to go work at NASA. I didn't need to see that yet. I didn't need to go the way of the Philistines just yet. There were battles that I wasn't ready for. Number two, this is key. The desire, when the desire is in place, it takes us right to the next one, and I will go to Psalm 119:105, which is a popular verse. I think probably the majority of us here could quote that. Psalm 119:105. Who can quote it for me? You want to quote that? Say it a little bit louder, Vince. What is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? It provides direction. If I could say this, here's your cloud. Here it is. You see, but they had a cloud. They would have exchanged that for this any day. They didn't have a word of this. None of it. they were still having to rely on visions and dreams, which for some crazy reason people want to go back to today. We have his complete revelation. We have it. God's word is our cloud by day and fire by night. Let the Bible come alive to you. Let it direct you. Let it feed you. Get in it. Listen to it. Get in it. Allow the preaching of the word of God to change your life. Again, don't just make it a book that you check your box with your reading. You'll look for it for guidance and direction. I mean, what is today? Today is the 22nd? Is that right? April 22nd? April 22nd. So far, how many days this month have you been in the Bible? 22 days. 22 days. I wonder what percentage here, on your own, just reading the read, where that would be a zero. That'd be a zero. You have no guiding in your life. Do you know the different things the Lord wanted to put before you on each of those days, on April 1st and April 2nd and April 3rd and April 4th and April 5th, and that time is gone. You have missed. It's over with. You missed the cloud. Or how many of you read, but you just read to read because it's our duty? I've been there. But you read it to get fed. You read it for guidance. God's word is our cloud. It's what gives the cloud power. It's what he uses to direct in our life. Thirdly, look over in John chapter 16 and verse 13. This goes sort of hand in hand with the word of God. Probably not sort of, it does. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of God is key to this because of the principle of that verse. He guides in all truth. Following the cloud is about truth. It's about, again, a life that is actually living in reality of who God is and his will for your life. And it's God's Spirit. See, when you're reading this, if you're reading this in the flesh, so to speak, that's why it'll be powerless in your life. It is the Spirit of God that guides us in all truth. It's when you're here and you're ready to listen and God's being, and if you're saved, God's Spirit indwells you, and he just brings it to life. He's the one all of a sudden sort of rings your bell and you say, I see what I need to do there. You know what's happening? The cloud's moving a little bit. Moving a little bit. He's helping you grow. He says, yep, you got it. Let's go. And listen, and a lot of times I do think there's a principle there that when the cloud moves and you're not moving with it, you get nothing else until you follow that step of obedience. That's why you get stuck and you're just stuck on the milk of the word and nothing else really matters to you. Follow the cloud. So we have the Spirit of God that is there to guide us in all truth with the word of God, along with the desire to put God first. And then lastly for this, I'll finish with this. It certainly does take faith to follow the cloud. There certainly is a measure of faith when you're following the cloud. Because there's going to be times that you come up against red seas. There's going to be times you're going to come up against this and it's not time to turn around. Remember what they wanted? We've been back to Egypt. Crazy. Yeah, we see Christians do that all the time, don't we? I don't think it was going to be like this. You're in the flesh and you're getting offended and you're pouting. They're getting ready to head back to the world. That's what you're getting ready to do. Because you're not following the cloud by faith. I don't know that there's a Christian who's ever lived, who served God, who looked back at his life and said, that's exactly how I thought it would go. You know, when I was 19, I had this whole thing laid out, and that's exactly what God did. All of us face those times of those left turns that God throws us on. And say, wait, I didn't expect this in my life. I didn't expect this to take place. In Alaska? You had me in Alaska? Really? It's cold. I never expected to live in Alaska. But he puts those things in your life, and so it's going to take faith to follow him. It takes faith when he's giving that direction in your life. And you say, well, I didn't really see it going that way. Well, it takes faith to follow the cloud. And, you know, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But one of the keys, of course, is Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know what God's doing? He's given you an opportunity. It's his creation, created in his image in the sinful world yet, where we're still living in the sinful body, to have it possible where you can still please him. By faith. You say, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. So, where in the world is your cloud? Have you been following it? Maybe there's things spiritually the Lord's been working on your heart about, and it's time that you grow up and follow his leading in your life. And even with the different series we're doing, from Matthew to Revelation and coming into Psalm 119 to the series on dress, I hope everybody's ready to follow the cloud when we get to that series. Because it will not lead you to hurt me when we're going through that series. I just joke with that because I do think it's an important series. I think it'll provide a lot of help. And anyhow, so where in the world is your cloud?